After that, we enjoyed the weekend with the DFW brethren out in Pottsboro, Texas. The campgrounds were wonderful and beautiful, and hope to go there again next year. As things settled down there at the campgrounds, I went and started perusing my Facebook and noticed that several other my friends' kids also graduated that night. David Holcomb, Olivia Erweiler, and Hunter Crawford are just a few from the East Texas congregation, as well as many other kids. Under David Holcomb's mother's post about her son's graduation, I told him that I was very proud of him as well as all his accomplishments. I've told all the other kids personally how proud I am of them. Our church kids are very remarkable. I feel like I'm an uncle to most of them, bursting with pride. But before I go too far, I want to give you the title of this message. The title of this message is, This is My Beloved Child. This is My Beloved Child. Through the graduation week, I heard and read of many others graduating from either grade school, high school, or even college. And I'm reminded of a speech that I gave at my own son's graduation. My son, Robert Paul, he's been here once or twice. We homeschooled him. And because of that, we decided to do his own graduation ceremony. So we invited a few friends, it was about 35 people, and had refreshments afterwards. It was, in my ever so humble opinion, a really special day. I'd like to read to you from what I said to him that day of his graduation. I'd like to thank all of you, friends and family, for coming today to share this momentous occasion with Joanne and I. Joanne and I have been blessed to be the parents of such a fantastic kid such as RP, and happy to stand before all of you now to say a few words. Proverbs 3 has some excellent words for such an occasion. Verse 1 in Proverbs 3, My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For a length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart and find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7, Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This is still part of it here. Joanne and I were from very large families. She's the eldest of 5, and I'm the eldest of 6. So naturally, we assumed we would have a large family. Well, as some of you may know, we had a lot of trouble. Having children, and Robert Paul is actually our second born. Our first one didn't make it to full term, and then we had a few others that didn't make it after him. We even looked into foster adopt, but that didn't work out. So we have been blessed with just the one child, Robert Paul. And because he's the only child, he is not only a son, he's also become like a brother and a friend. When Robert Paul was 4 years old, Joanne had a really bad accident. She was rear-ended turning into our driveway. I had to do more hours at work because Joanne now couldn't work. So at age 4, he did the cleaning, the cooking, and he took care of his mother. Age 4. He has always been such a wonderful and caring son. I knew then that we had been granted by God someone extra special. He has shown everyone in many ways how special he is. And as stated in Matthew 3, verse 17, And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. I love you, son, and I'm very pleased with you and the man that you've become. So, if you would all please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 3, verse 17. Here, John the Baptist is declaring to everyone that could hear his voice about the coming Messiah. This is actually the beginning of Matthew 3. His younger cousin Jesus, by 6 months, was coming to get baptized. John is saying that he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as foretold by the prophecy of Isaiah. So let's go ahead down to verse 13 in Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. Verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens parted and opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove alighting upon him. Verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from the heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Can you imagine what everyone around there must have been thinking? I, being a father, know that I would have said it as loud as I could have. This isn't the only instance that God showed his admiration for his son. So let's now turn to Matthew 17. And we'll go ahead and start in verse 1. Matthew 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the God family. And we know through Scripture that God intends for us also to become his children. We see in Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29, that through baptism and following his commandments, we are called heirs to the promise. So let's go ahead and read that. Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29. Galatians 3, verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." In a sermon I heard recently, and no need to turn there, 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4 were quoted, so I'll read it to you. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." So I'd like to point something out here. God desires that all are saved. Satan wants us all destroyed. Satan wants our destruction, but God wants us to succeed. What a wonderful Father we have in God. The Feast of Pentecost showed us that God intends for all humanity to become the children of God. These children, he watches, not to find fault, but to rejoice in our good works that we have learned by reading his word and following the incredible example given to us by our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. In the days, weeks, and years to come, I strive for all of us, the children of God, to continue working and showing Christ through our lives and our actions and thoughts. Becoming more Christ-like is what we should strive for in everything that we do. Contemplate before you take your next activity. Is this what Christ would do? Well, Mr. Gonzalez, isn't that taking it a little too far? Well, no, and I'll tell you why. I want God to tell all that can hear around us when he says these words, "This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Hear them. They do what I require, not out of fear, but a love for me. This, brethren, is the goal." I can't wait to hear him say this for you and I.